Springfield's News Talk, FM 1041 KSGF. A couple of videos that have hit a high mark over the weekend, one including former mayor and current presidential candidate Michael Bloomberg regarding taxes and the poor, and another one, Joe Biden talking about letting kids play with the hair on his legs and how much he loves them jumping on his lap. So we'll play some of that audio. Now, this isn't recent audio. It's just stuff that, it sits there. People don't notice it. They don't, for whatever reason, and then it gets put on Facebook, and all of a sudden people are passing it around, and you just never know when these things are going to pick up and get some steam. So we'll play some of that for you here in just a bit. We've got Don Luzader with the latest news.
And good morning. Highway Patrol is calling a crash between a car and a pedestrian on Sunshine and Farm Road 156 west of Springfield. An unfortunate accident. Troopers say David Gulledge died. He's from Springfield. The driver stopped his car in a well-lit area away from the scene when he found his vehicle had heavy damage. He went back and realized he had hit someone. The patrol says the driver is fully cooperating in that investigation. Missouri became a national focal point for officer-involved shootings after Michael Brown's death in Ferguson 5 years ago. Yet only a small number of police agencies in the state submit data to an FBI program designed to track those shootings. An analysis by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch has found that the voluntary national use of force data collection effort has been slow to catch on, even among police departments in the St. Louis area. And authorities say three people died in southeast Missouri when their vehicles were swept off flooded roadways. It happened Saturday in Bollinger County. The Highway Patrol says two boys died and an adult man and a two-year-old were injured when their vehicle was swept off a bridge. In a separate incident, a 48-year-old man from Louisiana died in flooding. And that is the latest news.
KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by Anchor Tactical Supply. It is going to be a cold day, but it will clear off eventually. High of 43. Cloudy 31 for a low tonight. Partly sunny, 53 tomorrow. Wednesday mostly sunny with a high of 55. It's 30 and cloudy here at the KSGF Studios. We are on Facebook Live. 1041 Nick Reed. You don't have to have a Facebook account or be a member, even like us, watch it. Someday I'll mention to people, say, are you guys ever going to get an app? You know, we used to have an app. We don't have it any longer. The old one, if you still have it on your phone, you can use it. But if you search for it, if it gets deleted off your phone, you're not going to be able to find it. So I will tell people, of course, you can stream us live at ksgf.com. And then you can also go to Facebook Live. And people say, oh, I don't have a Facebook account. That's cool. You don't have to have one in order to watch us and listen to the show Monday through Friday, Monday through Thursday while we're in studio. Of course, Friday's out on location, so we are not Facebook Live in it on that day. Okay, let's see. Biden, Bloomberg. Let's talk about Bloomberg first. Bloomberg, the latest Democrat to announce his candidacy. He's also a billionaire. He's also an old white guy. He's sort of all of the things a Democrat activist recoil against. He also supports taxes against the poor. Regressive taxes. Now, these are taxes. Understand that impact the poor to a greater degree than the rich because the rich have more money. And so if you've got a 10% sales tax on sugary sodas and you are somebody like Bloomberg, you're a billionaire. I mean, that means nothing to you. But if you are poor, that has a greater impact on you. And so these are the sort of taxes that are seen. They're more punitive. They have a greater impact on those that are lower class. And he was speaking some time ago at this event, and this isn't new audio, but it's just sort of making the rounds now because Bloomberg has announced his presidency or his candidacy for the nomination. And he's talking about this very particular issue. Now, usually, Democrats like to talk about taxing the successful people, the top 1% or the top 10%. And they tout themselves as being there to really help the poor, making sure the poor have more money in their pocket. You know, go out and get your benefits here, or force businesses to pay you more by law. So this is their big thing. But what they don't do is talk about ways that they want to financially punish those who are poor. Bloomberg, however, not only doesn't have a problem with it, he thinks it's a good idea, and here's part of his explanation for that.
Say, well, taxes are regressive, but in this case, yes, they are. That's the good thing about them, because the problem is in people that don't have a lot of money. And so higher taxes should have a bigger impact on their behavior and how they deal with themselves. So I listen to people saying, oh, we don't want to tax the poor. Well, we want the poor to live longer so that they can get an education and enjoy life. And that's why you do want to do exactly what a lot of people say you don't want to do.
And so now let me tell you, Bloomberg's philosophy here is no different than every one of the other Democrats running. And that is that they believe they know what's best for people who are not in the same economic bracket as they are. And so this is a very creative means that you can control the behavior of poor people for their own good, because they don't make very good decisions for themselves. Now, there are some Republicans that feel this way also, maybe not to the same degree that Democrats do, but this is their entire philosophy of government. And it's going to be interesting to see if the other Democrats really hit out at him on this, because in some capacity, look at it, smoking, for example. Tax on cigarettes. Why? Well, what's one of their main arguments for that? It is to prevent people from smoking. Or it's twofold, and it's actually a contradiction. On one hand, it's supposed to raise money for all these wonderful programs, but on the other hand, it's also supposed to stop people from buying the cigarettes and then smoking them, because that's, you know, it's bad for them, and they should not be making those decisions on their own, because, you know, if you're poor, you're basically not as smart as people like Bloomberg or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders, and this is why they need to make decisions for you. The city of Springfield has this same mindset, incidentally. The whole annual reintroduction of the issue regarding payday loan places. This is the exact same belief system. That these are individuals not capable, those that citizens that utilize payday loan industries, they are not capable of making wise financial decisions, so we should take those decisions away from them. We've got to get Bailey with traffic, but I want to talk on this some more. The Floors Plus Nixa talk and text line, 447-KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. There's video that has gone viral, if you will, of Bloomberg. I believe it was a couple years past, where he was talking at an event about regressive taxes. These are taxes that hit poor people to a greater degree than rich people, because the amount is the same. So, for example, if you buy a pack of cigarettes and the cigarettes have a 20% tax on them, you pay that 20% tax whether you are a billionaire like Michael Bloomberg or whether you are working a barely livable wage. Of course, Bloomberg wouldn't think anything of it because that's nothing to him. But to somebody who's poor, that has a greater impact. And Bloomberg is arguing in favor of this in this audio and saying that the reason it's good is because poor people don't make very good decisions for themselves, particularly when it comes to their education and their health. And so anytime people like Bloomberg can come along and utilize their position of power in order to make them make better decisions, that's a good thing. Because Bloomberg says, you know, we want poor people to live long and have a good life. Now, the reason that this is going around is well, one, because talking about taxing poor people, I mean, that's, if you're running for office, that's not a good thing. But Bloomberg's reasoning behind it, number one, is used by government all the time. I mean, it is. Smoking is an example, of course. You know, different areas use it for sodas, alcohol. There are all sorts of, you know, now there's a push for vaping. Same thing, you know, we need to raise taxes on vaping. What is it the left always wants to talk about? Putting a tax on bullets in order to decrease the likelihood somebody's going to buy lots of them and kill people. It's all about behavior. Look at income tax credits. If you buy an energy efficient window, you get a tax credit. If you buy an energy or, you know, certain vehicles that are electric as opposed to the good old fashioned gasoline fueled vehicles, you can get credit there. I mean, anytime if you do your taxes yourself or you take them to someone, there is an entire checklist of behavior. Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? Do you do this? And this entire checklist is, you know, seeing whether you comply with the wishes of government. And if so, you get to keep some of your own money. Even up to and including having children. I mean, I'd say half. For the average person, more than half of the doing your taxes is about your behavior and encouraging you to behave the way that they want us to behave. And Republicans are responsible for a lot of those as well. It's just Bloomberg worded it in a way that makes it seem so outrageous, because he was talking specifically about the poor and about how they, especially when it comes to health and education, they don't make very good decisions. So people like Bloomberg and Democrats in particular, I mean, he is a Democrat, so I'm sure he'd argue Democrats are better at this than Republicans, utilizing poor people's pocketbook in order to create and craft behavior that is palatable to people like Bloomberg. In the city of Springfield, every year we see this when it comes to payday loans. I had this discussion not too long ago on Color 10. And whether or not Springfield or any city should come in and start altering what is and is not legal in terms of people utilizing payday loans. These are loans that accurately are portrayed as high cost versus other loans. And they're high cost because they deal with high risk people. And the number of individuals that do not pay the loans back are much greater than what a traditional bank or lending industry deals with. And so there's a greater loss there. And so in order to make up that loss and be able to provide the service without going out of business, you have to charge a much higher interest rate. It's just what you're dealing with. But what gets a lot of people in government is they can't stand people making the decision to utilize that their money in that way. And so what do they want to do? They want to change the landscape. They want to create laws that forces them to change their behavior. I mean, virtually every law that exists any longer or regulation is for that purpose, whether it's seatbelts or helmets or it's telling you how to live your life. Now, Bloomberg is talking specifically about utilizing the force of the dollar to remedy ill decisions made by poor people. But his reason for doing so is the same that most of the rules and regulations are put into place. But it is, you know, it's somewhat entertaining to hear you've got the latest candidate for the Democrat nomination, who has in the past touted the benefits of taxing poor people. So, I mean, virtually all of the cliches that the left throws at the right, these Democrats manage to be capturing And the, you know, whether it is not caring about children or paying women less than men or being contributors to the destruction of the environment, all offenses that Democrats seem to almost want some sort of monopoly on. And now when it comes to the poor, you've got their latest candidate, who's a billionaire, by the way, a one percenter, touting the virtues of taxing poor people. What a lineup the Democrats have. So I can't even begin to imagine why it is that no one has managed to stir a great deal of excitement for Democrat voters. Speaking of that, Joe Biden not having the best time in Iowa. He's up there. He started his No Malarkey tour. Malarkey, a everything about Joe. You're trying to appeal to some degree, to millennials and younger, or you're at least trying to not sound like you are some person that is so far out of touch. And you use the word malarkey as part of your campaign. We've got the No Malarkey Tour. Good old Joe. All right, we'll play some Joe Biden audio coming up. This is throwback audio from an event that I played some audio from this event in the past. He was at a public swimming pool in an African-American community. And you may recall he talked about Corn Pop and taking on Corn Pop, a gang leader, with 6 foot of metal chain in a parking lot. It was a very real sounding story. And but during that same event, he talked about letting it's just weird. I can't even say it. I'll just play his audio coming up here in just a couple of moments. I'm Nick Reed. A couple of years ago or so, maybe been further back than that. Let me see if I have the actual date that this occurred. No, I don't. It's somewhat irrelevant. Joe Biden, he was at a swimming pool, and I know it was some time ago because I played audio some time ago of this was prior to his latest run for the presidency, and I think this was a swimming pool he worked at, and he's surrounded by African-Americans, particularly kids, and he's telling this story about taking on gang leader by the name of Corn Pop, and how he was going to, he got a six feet of metal chain to confront him in the parking lot. It's a very exciting story. Well, at that same event, he talked about something else, and it got overshadowed at the time by the Corn Pop story because that was kind of hilarious. But now this is making the round, and I don't even know really how to set it up, if you will, to give it any context. So I'm just going to play it for you, and then I suspect, like many others, you're just going to find yourself wondering why.
And by the way, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down so it was straight, and then watch the hair come back up again. They'd look at it. So I learned about roaches. I learned about kids jumping on my lap. And I've loved kids jumping on my lap.
So, can we not just all agree he's kind of a weirdo? What? Who would even? No, I mean, okay, I guess if let's say it's true that one of the things Joe Biden, when he was alive, he was talking about when he was a lifeguard, he would let little kids come up and, I mean, in his own words, rub his legs and jump on his lap. Even if it's, and let's again, benefit of the doubt, it's a totally innocent thing. Just as the words are coming out of your mouth, you would think that you would go, wait, this does not sound like a normal story. This sounds very, maybe I should just stop talking. I mean, he is an odd guy. And I don't know if he has always been this odd. He's said things for years that could make you shake your head or think, oh, Joe. But, I mean, some of this stuff that continues to come up that he's talking about, I mean, it's just, it's weird. That's the thing I keep coming back to. A lot of the subject matter, many people would believe it to be inappropriate, right? But you think he obviously doesn't think of it that way because he's talking about it in public. He's not. This is the sort of thing, if you overheard two people, two adult men, saying these sort of things to one another, you'd think, maybe I should report one of these. I mean, isn't that fair to say? I mean, you take the politics out of it. You're at a park, and you got somebody like Joe and some other guy their age, and you hear these conversations going on, or if you happen to be in a chat room and you saw this, you think, should I report this sort of stuff? But he arguably... Well, he doesn't know how it sounds or something, and no one's telling him, or they are telling him, and he continues to say these sorts of things. Now, this is from a few years back, but it's just, I don't know. I mean, I know people can point to Trump, and well, Trump says this and that. Oh, yeah, no, that's fine. But that's just different. There's something very odd and different about it. Don Luzader with the latest news update.
Good morning. The Highway Patrol is calling a crash between a car and a pedestrian on Sunshine and Farm Road 156 just west of Springfield. An unfortunate accident. Troopers say David Golage from Springfield died. The driver stopped his car in a well-lit area away from the scene when he found that his vehicle had heavy damage. He went back and realized he had hit someone. The patrol says that driver is fully cooperating and was not intoxicated. A recent study done by the St. Louis Post-Dispatch shows very few police departments in Missouri are taking part in the national Life or Death situations by tracking all fatal or non-fatal shootings. The FBI only revealed some of its information, but only 13 of 600 agencies in Missouri participated through November 22nd to identify the Missouri State Highway Patrol as one of the participating agencies. And that is the latest news.
The KTTS First Alert Forecast, sponsored by St. Clair of the Ozarks. Home improvements, discounts, veterans, firefighters, police officers, EMTs. Clouds gradually clearing off today with a high of 43. Cloudy tonight, 31. Partly sunny for tomorrow with a high of 53. And Wednesday, mostly sunny, 55. Holding steady at 30 with plenty of clouds. So a new video of Joe Biden sharing a story has gone viral where he's talking about being a lifeguard and letting kids rub his legs and jump on his lap and how much he enjoyed it. I don't know. Listen, I know people will want to assign something nefarious to that. I don't know what to make of it. I mean, it just doesn't seem like somebody who enjoys that sort of behavior for reasons that are, let's say, unnatural, would talk so openly about it. But then you think, how does a person not recognize that sort of thing? It's just weird. There's another video that's going around that, if it wasn't, I don't know, I'm kind of torn on it because I think it is a guy just showing, he's being kind of a normal, funny guy. But at the same time, he is so weird. Relative to some of the past things he's done and said, though, it doesn't seem that off-putting, I suppose. But his wife, Jill, was speaking at an event, and he bit her finger. bit her finger. She was waving her arms about, and she came close to his face. And while her arm was out, she leaned over and bit her finger. And of course, that's making the rounds too, because that's sort of odd. And you saw that, Sarah. Did you find that off-putting, or you just think it was more weird, Joe?
Yeah, no, that's just a normal day in his life, I guess.
I think well, that's the sort of thing I might do, but I don't think I would do it if I was running for president. And I don't know. It's when you put it up against some of these other things. Like, had you heard him, the audio of him talking about letting kids rub his legs and Joe?
No, that's new. But I did enjoy the audio of Corn Pop, though.
Yeah. Maybe we should listen to that again, because that was a fun story. Well, that was that same day that he told this story about letting little kids rub his legs and making his hair stand on end and jumping on his lap. And how much he liked it, that he told the Corn Pop story. What a weird guy this one is. he still seems to. I saw some polling, and in some of the battleground states, Trump beats everyone in a number of the states. The only one who fares relatively, or a chance, is Joe Biden. But I'm telling you, I just can't imagine watching Biden try to debate Trump. This was another actual discussion that I had on, I keep talking about these discussions I've had on Color 10. I do quite a bit of them as a contributor over there. And it was regarding there was a recent piece, I think it was in The Atlantic, and then MSNBC had an interview with someone, and it's about Joe Biden having a stutter. Now, did you know this? This is very interesting. Now, these are two separate outlets I'm aware of that have focused on the fact that Joe Biden has a stutter. And I don't mean, I mean a clinical diagnosed stutter. We all at one point or another will, you know, stutter around looking for our words. But then there are those that actually, you know, perhaps they went through speech therapy, but they have that stutter, and it's something that is very difficult to overcome, and they will learn mechanisms in order to diminish the stuttering and the prevalence of it. And it's a thing that some people learn to cope with and more successfully than others. And now this piece in The Atlantic and in the interview on, I believe it was MSNBC, about Joe Biden's stuttering issue. And I thought to myself, I've never heard this talked about with Joe Biden. I've never heard this talked about. So, of course, because I've not really heard a focus of Joe Biden having this as some sort of affliction, like FDR had, you know, polio you could go back and different presidents have different health issues. And most of the time up until more modern history, these things were kept under wraps. But I thought this isn't something that I've heard Joe Biden champion or talk about. Not that he hasn't. I just thought, what is this focus all this? And so it raises as a red flag. I think, well, there's got to be some reason. And what I think is that there are some that believe there's at least a chance Joe Biden is going to get the nomination, and they are already trying to create excuses for him and his performances, particularly on a debate stage. You think about this. Joe Biden has not done well at all on a debate stage with people within his own party. Can you imagine him one-on-one with Trump? He's got two things going for him in his favor during a Democrat debate. One, they are all Democrats, and although particularly if you're the front runner, they want to gun you down, and they are all opposing one another. But still, there is a certain level of forgiveness that is there. I mean, they don't want to beat up too badly on one another. And secondly, you've got 8, 10, 12 people up there, so you could arguably, in some capacity, pull back a little bit and not be the focus. But if you are in a general election and you are Joe Biden and you're debating Donald Trump, you aren't up there with other people. It's you and him. You cannot shrink away and just let everyone else fight each other. You are the target of his attacks. And secondly, Donald Trump does not hold back. Donald Trump, he's a steamroller when it comes to debates. I mean, he is, it's like no holds barred. It's a blood sport. It's smash mouth. It is all just crazy fight club brawl with Donald Trump. And he'll just roll right over you. Yeah, he'll lean into the microphone and say, wrong, you know, in the middle of your explanation as to some sort of policy. Joe Biden has demonstrated that he is not very quick on his feet. And the prospect of him having to debate Donald Trump given his debate performances in the relatively friendly realm of a primary, relatively, I say, has got to be a horrifying prospect for Democrats. And I suspect that his people, his supporters, his advisors, his campaign people are planting this idea and I don't want to say they're planting the story, but they're, you know, saying, something that really hasn't been highlighted. I don't know if you've noticed or not, but Joe Biden has a bit of a disability here that he's struggling with. And, it's part of his overall personality. And I know that you all are interested in really dissecting performance and everything. And so, I don't know, it might be sort of an interesting angle. And you fish that around a bit, and you're going to get an outlet here or there. It's like, oh, yeah, that would be kind of an interesting story. They actually had a guy they were interviewing on MSNBC, a person who has a stutter and who is some sort of expert in the field of stuttering, on to talk about Joe Biden. Now, I there are layers to this, I believe. And Bailey's standing by with traffic, but this is very telling. See, on the surface, you think, oh, this is kind of funny. I got, Joe Biden, and they're trying to make excuses for him. I think it goes just a little bit deeper than that. And it's not good for Joe. So that next, I'm Nick Reed. There have been at least a couple of different outlets that have focused on Joe Biden having an issue with stuttering, and they are presenting it in a way as a clinical stutter, not just like the average person at times, you just sort of get caught up. Or Obama would oftentimes do that, but no one would consider Obama to be one that clinically stutters. But now we're being told that Joe Biden is this guy who is this one. I never noticed it. I would think that if you are somebody that has, and I'm new to the game here when it comes to the issue of clinically stuttering, but perhaps I'm stereotyping. But if you are a person that is so affected that we are to believe that it could become a campaign issue, I would think that it would have been noticeable to the point that you would say this person has a clinical issue with stuttering. But that maybe that's not the case, and that's the way it's being presented here. Now, I think there are a couple things going on here. One of them is this great fear that Biden's people have of him having to be on a debate stage with Trump and just being way thrown off his game and seeming lost, seeming confused, and really calling into question his capacity to be president of the United States. And so this is a way of explaining a poor performance ahead of time. I think that it also is a way to, their hope anyhow, diminish questions of his mental capacity, and instead of it being seen as, boy, he just doesn't seem to have it, they can say, no, he just stutters. It isn't that he's confused. It isn't that he is a loss of what to say. It's a speech problem, not a mental problem. Now, Jill Biden, she wrote, and I've talked about this before, she wrote a book some time ago, and in the book, she talked about a very significant part of her life when Joe Biden almost died, when he served in the Senate. I think it was in the late 80s, and he had brain surgery, and he would actually have a second aneurysm after that. And she writes in the book how the neurosurgeon told her he had a 50-50 chance of living, but if he did live, that chances were more than likely he would have some sort of neurological damage. And that neurological damage, if it did occur, it would be in the part of the brain that affected his speech. So that could definitely be a connection there. Well, if you are a presidential candidate and you are having a difficult time verbally articulating, would you rather people believe it's because you have a clinical stutter or that you have neurological damage? Now, I think the former of the two would definitely be the more desired belief for people to have. Because if you have a difficult time verbalizing, I mean, that's not a mind thing in the sense of logic and memory. But if people worry about your loss or inability to articulate a certain point, or if somebody is challenging you, the inability to counter that challenge, to say, well, it's not a mental problem. There's nothing going on wrong with the brain. He's at full capacity. He's firing on all cylinders. It's just a speech issue. That is something that most Americans, I think, would not worry too much about or even perhaps be sympathetic to. But if it instead is connected back to what Jill Biden wrote about in her book and neurological damage, that's something a lot of people don't necessarily want to see in the presidency. You know, they worry about that, understandably so. In addition to it, they also may be setting up a defense. One of the arguments that has been made regarding Joe Biden and the stuttering is that oftentimes an individual, particularly when they're young, the stuttering becomes more prevalent when they feel like they're being bullied. And most of us, even if we haven't necessarily dealt with this ourselves, either personally or with somebody that's friend or family, we've seen it portrayed numerous times or in literature or in, you know, television movies. An individual, when they become very nervous, if they're being bullied or they're in an intense situation, that it becomes more difficult oftentimes for them to speak. And so if there are any questions that are brought up about Joe Biden's capacity or his ability to articulate certain points, particularly, you know how Trump likes to make fun. And if Trump starts poking at the fact that Joe Biden can't answer this, he can't answer that, they can portray Trump as being mean, a bully. And I guarantee you, if this is the path they're going to go, what you're going to find is you're going to find the media, they're going to find young people or adults or whatever age who have dealt with that sort of thing, and they're going to bring them on camera to talk about how awful and horrible it is to be bullied, and they will take this issue of Biden's inability to articulate things and try and turn it around to look how awful President Trump is. He's so mean, he's picking on somebody with a disability. I don't believe the story and the coverage, as minimal as it's been at this point, of Joe Biden's stuttering is some sort of just human interest story, maybe on behalf of the press. But even if it is, I believe that it is being put out there in order to try and get way ahead of this particular issue that he has should he win in the general election. Springfield's News Talk FM 1041 KSGF. I'm Nick Reed. Here's Bailey. The type of aneurysm that Joe Biden had, about 40% of those cases are fatal, and it's around 30,000, according to a story in the Washington Examiner. About 30,000 people a year actually have these occur, and then almost half of those individuals die, and those that don't, about 66% have neurological damage, and that would bear out what Jill Biden wrote about in her book, where the doctor said, well, he's got a 50-50 chance to live, and chances are he will have neurological damage that will affect the part of his brain that encompasses speech. On the Flores Plus Nixa talk and text line, somebody texted in, he's been running for something for the past 40 years, shouldn't his stuttering have shown up before this campaign? And that's one of the reasons that I'm suspicious that this isn't just some net. We've never heard this before. At least I've never heard this before. I've never heard this talked about. I've never heard this argued before. I've never seen this presented of Joe Biden. So does it mean that it hasn't been? No, it doesn't mean that. I mean, maybe the people of Delaware have known of this for some time, and that's just part of Joe Biden, and the rest of us have never heard of it before. But I suspect that if that really were some long-term issue that he's had since a child, most of us would have at some point recognized it. I think this is about something much different. And None of which is really good for Joe Biden. And some people might think I'm trying to be funny, but I'm really not. If there was neurological damage, it could explain a lot of the weird things that he does. The smelling of people's hair, particularly younger people, the stories that he tells that are just odd stories that you think, why would you even tell this story? That could be part of the reason. It would make sense. And I don't think that that is an irresponsible question for one to have when it comes to deciding whether or not you support someone for president of the United States. News in 60 seconds. I'm Nick Reed.